So as you guys know, every morning when I'm done at 10 o'clock, the guy that takes over after me does a tremendous job. He really does. It's a great show. And of course, I'm talking about Brian Kilmeade, not just here, 10 o'clock every weekday morning on 77 WABC, but also part of that great threesome, Fox and Friends on Fox News. And his show, One Nation on Fox News on Saturday nights, is great. I had a wonderful time there last Saturday, me and Jackie DeAngelis. And once again, even on a night where FAU was playing to get to the Final Four, all kinds of huge sporting events going on at the same exact time, what happens, and this is a statistical fact, I am a guest on One Nation for Brian Kilmeade, and the ratings through the roof. Am I right?
Yeah, we had good ratings, considering Trump speaking. The games are raging, one of the best tournaments ever. And we're still hanging in there, so it's pretty cool. It's also the magic of Fox, too. Fox is the number one network overall. I mean, from the TBS to ESPN, it almost doubles everybody else. So, and I'm not saying it's because of me at all. It would be just as successful without me, but they just have created a juggernaut here. And I think you know why, Sid, to be honest. When you walk in the green room, were people nice? I mean, for the most part, they hire good, hardworking people.
Oh, no, they're all very, very nice, and they are good, hardworking people. They're very respectful people. Whether I join you on the radio
even
side.
To you.
Yes, yes. Whether I join you on the radio side or the TV side, these people are absolutely lovely. I mean, there's a couple I don't really like, but I'm not going to get to that right now. You don't need that aggravation, right?
Right. Sean Hannity.
Yeah. No, I love Sean. I mean, Sean has been great to me. Actually,
want to make sure.
No, years and years ago, when I was down in Florida trying to get back to New York, Sean put me on his radio show, and I was on for about 45 minutes, and it was a huge deal and helped me get back to New York. So I love Sean. I love all the primetime players. Tucker's great. Laura's great. You're my favorite, of course. I love Judge Jeanine. And for the most part, yes, Fox News is a juggernaut, and you do a spectacular job. Now, I want to get to something happening on this station later on tonight. And that is 8 o'clock tonight, our mutual friend, John Catsimatidis, and the former governor, disgraced governor, here in New York, Andrew Cuomo, are going to team up and do a radio show together. Now, Cuomo was on last Friday, and to his credit, got very good ratings that night. So he's back now, five nights later, for a second run at it in the third and final hour of Mark Levin. What are your thoughts on our radio station putting on Governor Andrew Cuomo?
John Catsimatidis runs it. He makes his decisions. He hosts it. So I'm staying in my lane. Number two is a newsmaker's a newsmaker. So, you know, what about Elliot Spitzer? I mean, could you be more disgraced than that? I mean, look what he did. He was on CNN for about 2 years. You have, Bill Clinton was on 60 Minutes debating Bob Dole. The guy was impeached for having sex with an intern. So, I mean, basically, so if Governor Cuomo wants to start speaking publicly and weigh in on what's going on politically, it's not really up to me to book anybody's show but my own.
I agree with you, though, because he is a newsmaker. And you look at the front of today's New York Post, for example, and it's Carl Hasty, right? And Hasty wants no part of the bail issue. He has no interest in charter schools, even though the percentages weigh heavily in favor of both of those things, even discretion with judges, where even Kathy Hochul is all about that. So when you look at the front of today's New York Post and Hasty, you go back to Cuomo because he spent all that time up in Albany, obviously. So he can speak on that later on tonight with Catsimatidis. That's a good thing. But what are your thoughts on Hasty? How stubborn is this guy, and why is he allowed to continue in power?
No idea. It is such a disgrace. The same thing with that Silver of years ago, more powerful than the governor, stopped a stadium from being built here because he thought it would dissuade from rebuilding downtown by the World Trade Center. All he cared about was his left-wing constituents, and finally end up in jail where he deserved. And I just think he hurt more people than you could possibly imagine. But, you know, with Governor Cuomo in particular, the thing that frustrates people is that he seemed to have just been able to get away with the nursing home thing, especially. Eventually, he's going to have to answer for that. That frustrates people here. So he's trying to rehab himself without answering tough questions from the people that were affected most, the family members. I think that's what frustrates people like Janice Dean, and I totally understand it. About Carl Hasty, this is just another example. When, you know, if this is why people are leaving the state, because normal, like, let's say moderate to left-wing Democrats are too conservative for the people in power. And this jail reform, this stopping charter schools that hurts minorities, the bail reform, I should say, the lack of crackdown, the continue to raise taxes, the vilifying the successful people in this country, how much you have to pay for so these tiny closet-like apartments, and nothing's ever done about it. And that's what bothers people. And to have these arrogant, Democratic elected people in heavily left-wing districts decide what's going to happen for people in Syracuse and in Mepham, you know, or in Hicksville, New York, yeah, is maddening. That's what makes people want to pack up and just get out.
No, that's true. Brian Kilmeade here, of course, 10 o'clock after me every weekday morning, and people are still leaving, and they're still leaving in very big numbers, by the way. So last night, I made it to the Ranger game. I was at the Knick game on Monday night with my wife and son and saw the Knicks blow out the Rockets. I was back last night to watch the Rangers get a big win and blow out Columbus, move ahead of Toronto on that Eastern Conference. And I went with Lou Ruffino, Pete Morgan, and my dear friend of 43 years, Brian Joseph Tacopina, who happens to be on every television show every day since President Trump hired him a couple of weeks ago. And he said to me, when I walked into the garden, he said, "Do you believe that this grand jury again is going to wait a week, 2 weeks?" And I think every day that goes by that the grand jury does that, people are coming to the realization that Bragg has no case, there's nothing here, and eventually this thing is going to go away. What were your thoughts when you heard yesterday another postponement of the grand jury?
Well, here's the deal. They brought in David Pecker. He's unable to seal the case. What more do you have to ask him? What more do you have to ask him? You already brought him in. How many times are you going to count to talk to Michael Cohen? It turns out people like Joe will say that obviously they don't have the grand jury yet. So rather than just dismiss and move on, which is what you're supposed to do, even though you're a politically elected Democrat, you hold on to this. Why? My belief, they want to be second. They're waiting for somebody else to indict, whether it's Georgia, whether it's this January 6th committee, or whether it's the Mar-a-Lago investigation. They're waiting for one of the other four to go first, and then Alvin Bragg will say, "Count me in." Boom. Grand jury wants an indictment. And he'll feel like, "I did what I have to do for the left. I went and filed, and I look strong, and I don't have the same scrutiny that Trump 2 weeks ago brilliantly put on him." But he's an abomination. He's an embarrassment. And it's just another example, like Chesa Boudin out in San Francisco, of a Soros-backed DA. They put $1 million into his campaign, that more and more people are turning around going, "He is not out for us. He's out for him and the guy that put him there." And that's what I love about it. I just hope people understand that those elections matter, that the 80,000 people that show up is not okay. You got to show up and make sure, I don't care what party you're in, that people crack down on criminals. That's all.
Not
political vendettas.
Right. You know, you just used the word brilliant in describing something President Donald Trump did. He's not that far removed, Brian, from this huge rally. I mean, almost 20,000 people in Waco, Texas on Saturday night. Rally number one of many leading up to the election in 2024. But listening to you 2 days ago, you were actually pretty critical, in fact, very critical of President Trump. Share that with my audience.
Never bring up January 6th. I don't care if you feel these people are overcharged. That's a separate issue. I don't care if you think there should have been more cops. That's a separate issue. You're 100% right. Some of these people are overcharged. But am I going to go to bat for a guy wearing a headdress and face paint and pretends he's a wolf and a Viking and sits in Nancy Pelosi's chair? Are you kidding me? January 6th is not a good day for the president. It is a awful day for the president. If he had actually just said, I'm upset about the way this went. I am sure I got more votes, typical Trump fashion, but I'm going to tour Joe Biden on the White House. I might show up at his inauguration. He would be at 73% approval rating. Nikki Haley, Ron DeSantis wouldn't even think about being in this race. And he'd be coasting. They'd just go, "Look at my border policy. Look at my foreign policy. Look at my fiscal policy. Look at what I did with interest rates. Look what I did with the growth of this country. Look what I did with tax reform." He would be gliding to reelection. But for him to sit there and complain about 2020 again and talk about things that don't apply to the American people again is a colossal waste of time. And when you could be in awe of somebody's talent, but when they get the ball in their hands, if they keep throwing it away, and you might like that person, you're going to say, listen, I'm going to have to make a trade because I'm losing games. And that's what conservatives, moderates, independents are going to say. After a while, I can't watch these speeches where he complains and mocks Ron DeSantis to total silence. Mocking Ron DeSantis is not going to win him one more vote. So to me, it's a missed free throw over and over again, a wide open Odell Beckham in the end zone, and you throw it into the stands. How many times are you going to watch that? That's how I feel. You might love him, but he's got to complete the pass. He's got to get the job. People are tired of losing elections, and they're not going to go with a guy, even though they like him, that's going to sit there and rail about things that don't matter. And January 6th is not a good day for anybody, for Josh Hawley, others. If you talk to Michael Waltz, he broke a chair, a leg off a chair, and was protecting four of the lawmakers, two of which were Democrats. He knows where the threat was. There were legitimate threats. If they got Nancy Pelosi, we're going to kill her. And no doubt about it, they got Mike Pence. His life was in jeopardy. Why would you bring that up?
I agree with you. That's why a couple of weeks ago when Tucker Carlson was playing those tapes, and I get it, if Kevin McCarthy sent me tapes too, I would play them too, so I'm not killing Tucker for that, but the amount of people that thought he was exposing the Democrats on great TV, I found it to be very self-serving and nonsense because, again, if you're a Republican or a conservative, and a conservative, the last thing you ever want to do is bring up January 6th in any fashion because, like you said, that was a losing day for everyone, for the president, for Republicans, for Democrats since, for the country. Everybody lost on that day and since.
Very well said, Sid. And I would add this. The January 6th trial hearings were an infomercial for anti-Trumpism. So I'm not praising Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger. They let everybody down. I actually thought, because I know both of them, they were going to balance it out and say, Nancy Pelosi, where were you when they told you to bring National Guard out? Why didn't you play when he said go over there peacefully and patriotically? Why didn't you attempt to tell both sides of it and let people make the judge and then find new information? Instead, you made everybody tune in and go, this is just another partisan affair. They might as well be two Democrats. So that was a huge swing and a miss. So I'm not praising that either. I'm sure you aren't.
No, I was not. Listen, another great conversation. And really, I had a wonderful time on Saturday night. The show One Nation is great. Check it out, 8 p.m. Thank you. Thank you. And I wore an orange jacket for you, Brian. That work?
Right. I would never wear that again unless you're at a Knick game and you want to somehow pretend you're one of the assistant coaches.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah. Again, yeah. We had to overcome your fashion choices.
I know. And I could wear it actually Thursday down in Miami for the Mets when they start their season. But this was a great conversation. You're great. I love you. Thank you so much. We'll do it again next week, pal. Have a great week.
Continued success. Thanks, Sid.
You got it. There he is, the great Brian Kilmeade. Follows me every morning at 10 a.m. here on WABC, part of that great morning show on Fox News, Fox and Friends. And folks, if you haven't seen it, you'll love it. His own show, One Nation, on Fox News, 8 p.m. on Saturday nights. We'll take a short break. More of New York's favorite talk show, Sid and Friends, in the morning, right after this.